Good morning, church. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, to preach your word is a heavy thing indeed. And so I ask you, Lord, please help me to display who you are, Lord, to make much of Christ, to preach your word accurately. And Lord, may our hearts be open to your word. And Lord, we continue to pray for those in our church who are healing, who are hurting, that they may be comforted by you alone, and that your comfort, Lord, is everything. So please, Lord, as we talk a little bit about Christmas, Lord, let it be all about Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Getting to preach during the month of December, when we celebrate the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ, what could be more exciting than being able to do that? But I wasn't prepared. But God always is. And so what I did is I went back to some of the messages that were preached prior during Christmas and about the coming of Christ. Also, in the Advent devotional that was put together for our church, I went through some of those, daily devotionals. And I prayed and asked God, what message would He want to be proclaimed on this day for our church? God, what do you want shared to make much of Christ, to give glory to you alone, God, through the revelation of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit? And I thought and I prayed about it, and some thoughts came to my mind. It's like sometimes I just like these simple quotes and that people have shared before. And so one that I've heard before, and Ryan recently shared in a Sunday school, was about keeping the main thing the main thing. And so as a believer, what's the main thing? It's the gospel. And then I remember this other quote that said, don't major in the minors, right? Don't get distracted by focusing on things about Christmas that really isn't about Christ. Don't major in the minors. And then as I studied, I came across, and I'll share a little bit more, just kind of bothered me sometimes about things that happen during Christmas that aren't Christ-like at all. And then one thing that's shared regularly in our church, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. In all things, grace. And to share grace, God's grace. And then what verses to share? And I know we may hear these verses from Luke many times during the Christmas season. But I thought, that's awesome. Because to me, this is like kind of the centrality of the birth of Christ. I'm just going to share some thoughts that I had about Christmas. You know, when I was a child, I had just a really small idea that Christmas was about Christ. I never went to church, but I mean, it's in the name, right? Christmas. But I had no idea what the nativity was. I had no idea of Jesus being born, and I didn't even know who Jesus was. What I did know about Christmas as a child was that I would get presents from Santa if I was nice. But if I was naughty, I would get a lump of coal. Then, when I was in the sixth grade, I did learn about the nativity from a friend and about baby Jesus. But to me, he was just a baby surrounded by some animals and shepherds and lying in some hay. Didn't mean much to me. But living on Oahu, that huge Santa Claus that they would have at Anuana Center, and all the lights and all the decorations at the mall, now that was exciting. And the toys at Christmas, and the family parties, and no school for 2 weeks. Christmas to me truly was the most wonderful time of the year. And then by the grace of God and his sovereign plan, the church was created. It spread throughout Europe. And then God allowed the gospel to travel to America before there even was a United States of America. And then in our history, God allowed World War II to happen, bringing missionaries from the Southern Baptist Convention to Hawaii and to the island of Maui, and starting a mission that became Kahului Baptist Church. And these missionaries were sent by what was known back then as the Foreign Mission Board, now known as the International Mission Board, which part of our missions offering is going to support. And one of those missionaries from the East Coast, I believe, or the Midwest, shared the gospel with a Japanese lady on Maui in the 1940s. And by the grace of God, she was saved. And she began attending Kahului Baptist Church. And I'm going to say some names. I'm going to preface it by saying, to let you know that this is God working his sovereign plan today. Not that these names to get any glory, but for God to get the glory, because you know some of these names. That Japanese lady's name was Mrs. Tamiko Funaki. And she has a daughter named Pauline, my mother-in-law. And Pauline had a daughter, Mrs. Funaki's granddaughter, named Joyce, who is now my wife. And Joyce's grandma would pray for Joyce's future husband from when Joyce was a girl. And Hugh knew at the time that she was praying, her future husband, me, knew nothing about Christ. I was more excited about the Santa at Anuana Center than anything else during Christmas. And so I thank God for his sovereign plan through the ages. And that now Christmas is so much more than a big Santa and presents to me. And as I grew as a Christian, though, I began to see all these things with Christmas that had nothing to do with Christ, and it bothered me. There's too much emphasis on gifts and gift-giving and presents and decorations and family parties and too much rushing around and too little worship of God. I mean, isn't Christmas started on a lot of traditions that were pagan anyway? And isn't all this commercial consumerism just taking Christ out of Christmas? Maybe I thought, and this was some years ago, I shouldn't participate in Christmas because of all these non-Christ-focused activities. And maybe when I give these gifts, I care more about my kids being happy and me being looked at as a good father for giving a gift than in proclaiming the birth of Christ. And maybe when we send out these cards, we care more about showing us off instead of showing Christ off. And there's too little about me and too much about me and too little about Christ when God says there should be less of us and more of him. And I remember saying, please God, I used to love Christmas so much when I wasn't a Christian. What's happening? Why am I distracted by all these things? Please help me to understand. And he did. Once upon a time, there was a little boy, and his name was Ungamunga. And he had a little sister, and her name was Jennifer. And one day, during the month of December, Ungamunga was dropped off at school, and he was so excited because he was going to share candy canes with his class. And his mom even gave him cards that had a story about the candy cane and shared the gospel through that story. And some of the kids were really happy to get the candy canes. And they read the story too. And Ungamunga was happy. But then some other kids came along and they stole Ungamunga's joy. And when Ungamunga got home, his dad noticed that he seemed quiet. "How are you feeling, Ungamunga?" his dad asked. "I feel kind of sad," Ungamunga said. "Why are you feeling sad?" "I'm going to stop there for a little while because I want to share. When I share these stories of Ungamunga, and some of you think, well, they're Paula and Warren, and I'm this good dad, but I'm really not. I never talked to my kids enough about Christ. I never shared with my kids enough about my shortcomings and God's grace over those shortcomings. And I need to do that more." Dad asks Ungamunga, "Why are you feeling sad?" We can ask our kids, "Why are you feeling sad?" "Well, Dad," said Ungamunga, "some of the kids told me that we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. They said that their parents told them, if we're Christians, Christmas is a pagan holiday, and that most people care more about getting presents anyway. And some of the kids said that Jesus wasn't even born on Christmas, so what are you doing? Dad, I like Christmas. I get so excited when the decorations go up, and I do like giving and receiving gifts. Is that wrong? And I really like when Uncle Masa leads us in singing about Jesus in church." Uncle Masa is Nick, if you don't know. "And you know, Dad, you know what I really wish? I really wish that it was Christmas every day. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, in my heart, I feel that would be a good thing. It's good to celebrate Christmas, isn't it, Dad? And can we have Christmas every day? Can we, Dad?" "Well, Ungamunga, just because you feel that you're doing something right in your heart doesn't mean that it is right. Do you remember that the Bible teaches us that our hearts can be easily deceived? And sometimes, even if in our hearts, when sincere, And even if we have the best and good intentions, we still might not be in alignment with God's word. And so we need to go back to God's word. Can we have Christmas every day? Let's see what God's word says. But before that, the other kids are right. There are many Christmas traditions that do have pagan beginnings. And Jesus almost certainly was not born on Christmas Day. But that's not why we celebrate Christmas. And that shouldn't stop us from celebrating Christmas. When we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating what God has done. What God has done in sending Christ as our Savior. And we thank God for continually to be working in fulfilling His plan. And we look forward to His second coming and spending eternity with God, with Him, with Christ. Always remember that God has had a perfect plan before the beginning of time. And He rules over everything, over the spiritual realm, the natural world, and human history. And within this huge plan that God has, He looks at us individually, and He cares and loves us individually. Do you remember Ungamunga? We learned about Jesus being the long-awaited, from the beginning, the serpent crusher, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, the one in who in Him all nations are blessed. That as Israel was waiting in anticipation for a Redeemer, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, but then they're also waiting for a leader that would save them from their oppression. They were not faithful in exile. And God was not their God, and yet God was working faithfully and lovingly in their waiting. And do you remember, Ungamunga, that the prophets of the Old Testament, proclaimed that Messiah would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, fully God and fully man. And as we've been learning, as Pastor Randy and others have been preaching through the book of Matthew, Jesus spoke with authority because He had authority over sickness, authority over demons, authority over nature, and Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect life, and He gave His life. He died for our salvation and our justification, and He was raised again on the third day, and He will come again. And God is working faithfully and lovingly in our waiting. And I pray that we are to remain faithful in our exile as we await our eternal King and Savior. Now let's read, as Maddie read already, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Dad read to Ungamunga. And Dad asked Ungamunga to open his Bible. And Ungamunga said, "Dad, I know these verses. These are the verses we read at every Christmas morning. You make us read it before we open our presents. And sometimes, Dad, I'm so excited, I don't even hear what you're reading because I'm just thinking about the presents." Well, Ungamunga, Dad said, "Then I'm glad that we're reading it today because it's not the day to open presents." Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and I won't read it again, or maybe I will read it again. It's God's word. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. 3 points today. First point is we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. Title of the message, Christmas Every Day. First point, we don't know what we don't know. Why did Luke write the book of Luke? He tells us. He wrote Luke to Theophilus. Theo, thank you. So that he might know that everything that he was taught was true, right? The thought about Christ was true. And so what we're learning is so that we know that what God teaches us about Christ through his word is true. We don't know, we don't know. I didn't know that Joseph's grandma was praying for me. I'm sure not many at that time thought anything about this very insignificant young pregnant couple going from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census. I mean, who are they? Poor, young, pregnant before getting married. But yet God had a much bigger plan. We don't know what we don't know, but God does know. And God is working. Who would think that God would use the greatest political leader at that time, this evil emperor, to decree, to order that all the inhabited earth to be counted in a census, and to bring this insignificant couple from their hometown on a long and hard trip to Bethlehem. God knew, and it fulfills prophecy in Micah, in the book of Micah. And Pastor Randy shares this fairly regularly, and it's just been hitting me over and over again in Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. It doesn't matter who the king or who the leaders are, God turns their heart. All the kings, all the presidents, all the prime ministers of the world, they may think that they're giving these orders and their decrees, but they don't know. They're following the sovereign's decree, our Father in heaven, as part of his plan, so that his children may be conformed more and more to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as I thought about Christmas, and then I looked at this Proverbs 1, and then I looked at Proverbs 21, verse 1, then I looked at Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his heart. Lord, why do I think I'm right all the time? Lord, please turn my heart. Help me, Lord, to work not towards my own ways and what I think is right, but let my heart turn to Christ to worship him and adore him alone. Because you know what? It's not what we accomplish. It's not what we do. It's not our position in this world or our social status or economic status or our plans. It's about God and our faith in God and His plans. It was shared with me recently that as I was talking about Christmas, don't you know that Christmas is the worst time of the year for many people? It's not joyful at all. People feel insignificant. They feel left out. They had a loved one die during Christmas. But please, don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Feel the pain, but just know God is still working and He is faithful. And He is still guiding all these events for our good and ultimately for His glory. From those who we think are these greatest leaders in the world doing all these sometimes awful things, or these famous people or these influencers, down to just me, yes, God is working. Think about, ponder about how He worked in the lives of Joseph and Mary. And don't think that because you're experiencing adversity or sadness or loneliness or hard times, that the work of the hand of God is shortened or is not happening. Because God cares about so much more than that for us, right? He cares about our very souls, and He seeks that with all His heart, to save souls, and He rules the world to save souls for His glory. I'm always reminded, I know nothing, and I don't know what I don't know, and I don't understand what I don't understand, but I do understand this. God is loving, God is sovereign, He is good, and I can trust Him. And He's demonstrated His faithfulness over and over again in history, in His word, and in our lives. You know, sometimes we tell people that when we love them, right, I love you to the moon and back, or if I could, I'd move the world or the stars for you. Church, know that God did that very thing. He moved the star so that the Magi would be led to Him. He is willing to move earth and stars so that we will be led to Him. Let God lead you to Jesus. Second point, from fear to joy, verses 8 to 14. And there are shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid," right? Fear not. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Peace on those on whom He is well pleased." If we're to see an angel today, we might be terrified, just as the shepherds were, just as Zechariah was, just as Mary was and didn't understand. But the angel said, "Fear not. Fear not." Why were they terrified? I just think, right, if being in the presence of an angel and seeing the glory of God reflected around, right, the Shekinah glory of God and me, my sinfulness, my shame, what fear would I have in that presence of a holy God, even in the presence of an angel? But yet, the angel said, "Fear not." Why? "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And that is good news to not fear for all people, that Christ is born, the Savior is born, the Messiah is here. And then the multitude said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased," with whom he is pleased, with those who have found favor with him. Do you see that at the end of that statement? Peace among men and women on whom he is pleased, on whom his favor rests. And Pastor Randy has been sharing over the last weeks about, right, being blessed, being having righteousness that surpasses, right? Those are the religious leaders. And how do we do that? How do we find favor with God? How does our righteousness surpass even those of the religious leaders? God tells us in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without faith, Christ does not bring peace. "This is the judgment," Jesus said, "that the light has come into the world." Jesus has come into the world, and yet men still love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. And in the book of John, God also says that he, Jesus, came to his own, and his own received him not. But the good news, and it continues, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, to as many as believed on his name." Believe in Christ. Trust in Christ. In Hebrews 2, 14 to 16, it says, "Jesus became a man that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham," right? The true offspring of Abraham, the believers, the church. "The worst fear humans have is the fear of death. And in Christ, that fear is no more. Through Christ's death, his resurrection, he has taken away the sting of physical death. Our eternity is secure. And if we no longer have to fear death, we no longer have to fear the loss of our jobs. We no longer have to fear not having enough money to pay the rent or to buy the presents that we may want to buy, or not have enough time to do everything that's in front of us, or not enough patience with those who are closest to us. Faith in a faithful God and his plan drives out all fear. We need to change our focus to seek first the kingdom of God, to be fully 100% devoted to God and to his glory," right? To have this heart that's undivided, to trust God, to trust that God will take care of the rest, even in my current situation. We don't know what we don't know. We don't understand what we don't understand. But we do know that God is greater than all our fears. And He is our loving Heavenly Father and sovereign still and always has been over everything in heaven and on earth. The message of Christmas really is fear not. Believe in Christ and you need not fear ever again. He promises that He will dwell among us and that He will never leave us or forsake us. I do feel anxious sometimes of my situations that I go through in my life. And God reminds me again, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall wear. Cast all your anxieties on God because He cares for you. The Lord is my salvation, my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And in place of fear, God puts joy. We can rejoice. This joy, we sing, we talk to each other about this unspeakable, unexplainable, pure joy in knowing Him, in knowing who we have put our trust in, and knowing without a doubt what our eternal future is with Him. And Paul writes and says in Philippians and Thessalonians, rejoice always, again, and I will say rejoice, always, always. Rejoice always. God knows what we're going through. Trust Him. Trust in His promises. Luke 2:15-20. And when the angels had left them, right, had left the shepherds and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Please, Lord, let us be like the shepherds and talk to each other about what we have seen and what we have heard about Jesus. Let us talk and remind each other about the gospel, about trusting Christ and His faithfulness. And let us share and see the wonder in the eyes of those who hear the gospel for the first time. I knew nothing about Christ. And when I understood, I was confused. Because I didn't really understand. But I did have this wonder about who is this Jesus? And let us rejoice. Always rejoice and rejoice when God saves souls, when God heals as only God can heal and heals the hearts of sinners as we once were. And let us be like John the Baptist and bear witness and give testimony about Jesus, the true light in the darkness of this world, the true light in the shadows of what's around us. And let us be like Mary, who pondered all these things in her heart. And may we, in our everyday walking around, living our lives, glorify and praise God in the highest, and yield to His Spirit to become more and more made into the image of Jesus. As I thought and prayed and studied about Christians celebrating Christmas, God revealed to me that I couldn't find any biblical command or biblical instruction to celebrate Christmas. I mean, there was a celebration at His birth, but nothing about this annual holiday or to celebrate. And then I couldn't find anything about not celebrating Christmas. Sure, there's verses about not celebrating certain festivals, but that's not what Christmas is. And nothing about celebrating the birth of Christ annually, and there was a celebration at His birth. And then as I thought about it, God revealed, I believe, to me, Wes, when do many people, even little children, who have no idea of who Christ is, get their first inkling that Christ exists? And for me, it was at Christmas. And how many people hear scriptures for the very first time in Christmas carols and listening to Christmas songs at Christmas? And when is it that most Christians share the gospel message in their Christmas cards and Christmas letters and Christmas posts? At Christmas. And yes, there is way too much consumerism around Christmas and too many distractions. And God reminded me that He's still faithful and He's still in control, and He will turn the hearts of not only kings but of all of us wherever He wills. And so Ungamunga's dad said, yes, Ungamunga, I believe not only can we, but we should have Christmas every day. The Christmas of worshiping God, the Christmas of standing firm on His promises, the Christmas of celebrating and thanking God for sending Jesus, the Christmas of Jesus living His perfect life, giving His life on the cross for our sins, for His resurrection, and the Christmas of waiting the advent, the second coming of Christ. No, not the presents that are given to each other, not the decorations, not the distractions. We may not need that Christmas, but we do need Christ, and Christ alone, to be our Savior, to be our Lord. And we pray and we ask God to help us as His people to remain faithful in our exile, because we are in exile today, as we await our eternal King and Savior. He is coming again. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And until then, have a Merry Christmas every day. Come, let us adore Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Christ. We thank You, Lord, for Your word to remind us, Lord, that there are so many distractions in this world, so many things pulling at our hearts away from You. And so I pray, Lord, help us at Christmas and at all times, Lord, be reminded that we need You, that You are God, that you alone are to be worshiped, and that everything we are, our lives, everything we owe is to Christ and his sacrifice. Please, Lord, let us be more and more like Christ for your glory and to build your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.